Robots Radio. Games, lore, stories, community. Just press play.
Robots Radio presents...
You're listening to the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast, the best way for everyone from experienced dungeon masters to those curious about D&D to learn more about the worlds, creatures, and lore of Dungeons & Dragons.
Hello and welcome to the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. My name is Sergio. And Mary is lost in the tower somewhere. Hopefully, we'll be able to find her perusing the tomes and the scrolls somewhere. She's lost somewhere in the, maybe hanging out with the dragon that we might have hidden in the basement. I'm not sure about that. But this is our multiverse famous patron roundtable. We are joined by a couple of our wizard level patrons. Darkwing, let's start off with you. Say hi. Say who are you
and how are you doing, everybody?
And what are you doing here?
Don't worry about Mary. I sent my goblins out to go look for her. I'm just here swashbuckling it up this morning, ready to talk about classes I refuse to play.
And Coffee, say hi.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Existing. Yes.
Well, let's go ahead. Darkwing alluded to it already. Let's go ahead and just jump into the topic at hand this month. We're talking about classes. We're talking about the classes you love to play, the classes you hate to play, the classes that for some reason or another you haven't played yet, and what that means, and what that means for for the future of D&D, what that means for future iterations, like 1D&D, these classes that aren't being played as often, like what can be done to boost that up? Because I don't want to seem like it shouldn't seem that one class is better than the other. Every class should have its pros and cons, right?
I agree, but yeah. Still, classes I don't want to play.
Well, let's go ahead and get started with that. What's something that you refuse to play, Darkwing?
I'm that horrible player. I do not play clerics. I am not your healer. I am not here to give out the magical healing touch so you guys can go about having all the good times. I don't do it. I'm a jerk like that. But I don't play sorcerers or wizards either because, I play other like fighters or rogues, and they die all the time. So a sorcerer is going to die faster because there's no hit points to start.
It's interesting that you mentioned like there's a hard line at clerics, because I asked this question to my two different campaign parties, and one of them, the DM for one of them, said that they gravitate towards support classes, not clerics / healers specifically, but just, like anything that's designed to sort of support or buff or debuff, as opposed to being sort of a tank or a DPS. So which is interesting, some people enjoy that support role, enjoy like being able to like have something that's like very strongly defined.
Yeah, well, that's very noble, but people need to remember nobody's thanking them for helping them. Hi, thanks for the healing potion. I'm off. Ha ha. Well, thanks. Clerics get left behind. And now, sure, clerics are going to come through in the higher levels where now they've got a +2 mace of smiting that's going to scare away any ogre that you come across. But in the beginning, clerics are kind of like your sorcerers, kind of like your wizards. If you hit them too hard, too fast, you don't have a cleric anymore.
And yeah, and that's also an argument to be made, is that there's very little, like there's very little nuance between or distinction between these some of these classes, especially at early level, which is something that another one of my campaign players said is that that he feels that like wizard, sorcerer, paladin are they all kind of like different sides of the same coin, and also that he doesn't know enough about them, and that he feels like the learning curve is too steep to get really good with those characters when they just want to get into the start playing and start fighting. You know, they tell me to roll initiative. I mean, come on.
I hear you like fighter. We put more fighter in your fighter.
And so, like this was according to some stats that they released back in 2017. So obviously they've changed, but I wouldn't think it's changed that remarkably. But in order of popularity, they're per 100,000 characters that players created on D&D Beyond. You've got fighter, rogue, wizard, barbarian, cleric. So it's pretty much your meat and potatoes, you know, campaign party. You know, not really getting kind of, you know, getting really wild with the class combinations, you know, monk, bard, sorcerer, and druid. Warlock, monk, bard, sorcerer, and druid are the least popular. I mean, that's essentially four spellcaster-ish, like warlock and sorcerer for sure, and then bard and druid beyond that. I mean, so is spell casting broken in D&D is what I'm wondering, or is it not accessible enough?
I don't know if I'd call it broken. I think the problem that we face with what you were just discussing is it's fighters and all that, they start off so much better. It takes dedication, and the dedication you have to have also involves having a DM that will continue to play the characters for you, you know, keep the game going. Because wizards and sorcerers, they just don't have it right in the beginning. They try to die a lot.
They do their best that try to die.
But I don't know if broken's what I call it. I think it's just a need for dedication and maybe a little balancing. I'm just not sure how to do it because you and I both know if you get to a really high level wizard, you just destroy a room by yourself if you want. And but to get there, you needed some tanks in front of you for a good long time and quite a few different sessions. You can't just make a fighter and be badass right off the bat like you can today. You could just make a fighter and I'll take all the hits. Don't worry, guys. This will be great. Take two actions, then I will take an action surge and take two actions. Whereas the wizard just magic missile.
Yeah, so I mean, and
else?
That's...
No, I'm not going to do anything else.
I remember playing in a Shackled City campaign, and there was one new player to the table, and he was playing a wizard because he was like, oh, that sounds like badass. Like, wizards sound cool, right? And it's just, I could see sort of like the interest like waning in him as like his options were like, okay, what can I do here? And he's like, all right, well, it's magic missile, rolls the dice. Like, all right, magic missile, rolls the dice. And so, yeah, I think some sort of tweaking to where, though there is a sort of a balance throughout the levels, you know, whereas, you know, fighter, like, you know, your melee, you know, damage dealers are powerful to begin with, and then slowly kind of phase out of that power as everything else levels up around them. And then on the flip side of that, you got your spellcasters who, like you said, are pretty squishy to begin with and do their best to die. But by the time they get to like the teens, you know, up through 15, 16, they're wrecking shop. They're damn near demigods with their power. But Coffee, what do you normally play as? What is your favorite class to play as?
So as you know, I'm relatively new, so I've only played Artificer really.
Artificer, and yes. Why the Artificer?
I like the combination of like, I guess like magic and machine, like combining. That's what I get when I hear the word Artificer.
Okay, so for you is more less like the mechanics of it and more like just like the overall feel and vibe of it.
Yeah.
And I feel, I mean, as new players, you know, usually will probably be like the one I just mentioned. He's like, oh, wizard sound. Like he didn't know like the difference like between a wizard and a fighter, like the mechanics wise, but just a wizard sounded cool. Like wizard sounds awesome. That's what I want to play. And that's something that also that, you know, a couple of the players in my campaigns mentioned is that, you know, they haven't played enough. Like either they recently started playing or they played, you know, back in the gap and then picked it up again recently, but they haven't just, you know, they haven't played enough to really try everything. Not that necessarily that they wouldn't want to, but like I've got a buddy who this was his first campaign, never played D&D before, but got into it through mutual friends, and so he's only kind of played a warlock, and he loves the warlock, but you know that's all he's played. He says that he loves like ranged spellcasters because it you know he loves the fact about having magic powers. Like that sounds dope to him as far as like a D&D game's concerned, but it also enables him to like not get into the brawl and get wrecked as a result. And so, but then so he says that he hasn't played a fighter for the opposite reasons. Like, is that he can't, like, he has to be in the fracas at that point. He can't, like, kind of skirt the edges and you know, kind of pick at enemies and creatures.
I'm all about the glory. Going in. Might not come back.
Leroy Jenkins.
You bet.
Oh, and we have one of those. That's our fighter. Our fighter. In our Age of Worms campaign, oh bless his heart, Sir Kendrick. I am flabbergasted at how he has stayed alive, because he is your typical Leroy Jenkins. DM says you approach a door that scrawled in blood says, you know, weep all ye who enter here. And the first thing he does is, I'm entering.
Oh, well, you know, you gotta be still fancy with it. I'm kicking the door in. You're what? I don't think I stuttered. I'm kicking the door in. Yeah, that's kind of how I play my fighters.
How do y'all feel about rogues?
I love rogues.
You love a good rogue. Okay.
Who doesn't want to be the brooding, sneaky? My life was nothing but the streets until you met me. And now I have retribution to have against the people who put me here. Yeah, that sounds great. I'm sneaky. I'm a backstab. I mean, I haven't played a rogue since 3.5, where I crossed a rogue with a shadow dancer and cross-classed that to level 17 until I was getting 12d6 worth of sneak attack damage, which is probably an exaggeration, but it's for sake of story. Yeah, I loved it. I did. I love that character, and I ran him all the way up to killing the necromancer at the end of the game, the big baddie, who I nailed him for just a ton of damage. And then it turns out that sneak attack doesn't work on a lich, and I didn't know he was a lich. He was
Well,
supposed to be a
you
human.
found out, though.
No, I did, and
You
I died. Oh, I died then.
definitely found out.
It
Oh,
was
yeah, I love Rogue.
epic. I still have him, actually. I have that notebook with all of my D&D stuff today.
Yeah, I love rogues. I'm playing a rogue in that Age of Worms campaign. His name is Razmataz, and he is a tiefling. And he's great. He's a lot of fun. And a couple of my other campaign party members also love rogues. They love like the sneaky stealth of it all, and then also like being a decent fighter, and then also being able to possibly take a level in warlock or sorcerer, which is what I've done as well. I've recently taken up warlock. One, just you know, for the mechanical aspects of it, but two, myself and the warlock in the party, the aforementioned warlock. We're kind of like a tag team. We call each other we're the Leather Boys, and so it like role play wise, it would make sense that you know that Xyla Lore would teach me a thing, or would be teaching me a thing or two about his you know eldritch ways.
Did your DM force you to get your entity to give you your powers, or have you got that figured out yet?
No, I have. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that I'm. I didn't pick an entity, but I probably should. I would probably say it's the same as Xylolor. If he's the one showing me the tricks of the trade, and he's like, well, you could always just, always go with my entity. Like, yeah, sure, sounds good. If he's doing right by you, he's all right. A friend of yours is a friend of mine.
Yes, I love guys like you. Hey, I got you at a crossroads. You just need to talk to this dude for just a second. You're gonna love him. Warlock is your new class.
And then also another the DM actually of my Age of War campaign says that he loves rogues as well. They're probably his favorite just because if he can he can kind of play like both sides. He can either be like a complete scoundrel and like always just looking out for himself, like look, like I want it, I'm going to take it, I don't care. Or he could like do the flip side of that, and be like a do-gooder Robin Hood type character, which is like, the fun part about, these like sort of classes that are malleable in the terms of how you role play them. Even Paladin,
Oh,
I was watching interviews with the actor playing the Paladin in the D&D movie, and he said it was a lot of fun playing this like very like self-righteous who like would be the hero in any other movie because he's just like this big, paragon of virtue, but in the D&D movie he's kind of treated as a joke, kind of as a blowhard.
yeah. And so I've always looked at paladins. Oh, like forever. You blowhard, self-righteous prick. Get over here and lay on hands, would you? Come on.
Well, that's what one guy said. He said Paladins, ugh, lawful good and a code.
Yeah, I'm with him. and they're so easy to make fun of. I mean, I'm here to save the day. Ha ha. I'm just no, but they do get to lead into that other side you were talking about, where you can play them as a bad guy, and you get into, oh, why I'm up, I'm having a brain fart. Just the bad paladin, the bad guy paladin. Why can I not think what that's called?
I mean, you could also do sort of like a lawful evil kind of, or like the paladin who thinks he's doing the right thing, like in his own mind thinks he's right.
Yeah, that's a good idea also.
Coffee, what is a class that you see yourself, like you say, you're relatively new to the game, but what's a class that you don't see yourself being at least being interested in, and so as a result, like probably never playing?
Probably like a paladin, like a lot, probably a
He's like,
lot of
speaking of paladins, yeah, that sounds lame.
yep,
probably a
oh, thank
paladin or
you.
like a lot of them, like feel like more like. I have to put the line issue because I forget all the alignments. Hang on.
I know like
Sorry.
one of my buddies like played a monk in a like high level one shot that I ran, and he really enjoyed that. But then again, like everyone was level 17, and so at that point, like you're operating at full optimization at that point. Like I'm curious as to how, and like a monk being like one of the bottom five made like most made characters or least made characters rather, I feel like it might suffer from the same sort of that's the word I'm looking for.
I'm wearing off on you. I'm sorry.
Detriment that the spellcasters do, where like they're weak early on, and you kind of have to grow into the character.
Evolve.
Pitfall, yeah, pitfall. There you go. And so what were you thinking, Coffee? You said Paladin, and what else?
So, like, I guess anything that's like kind of leading towards like the more like lawful good or like that, like the more lawful like. Leading edge of the chart.
Also like paladin, cleric stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean like
Probably more closer to Paladin Cleric, possibly. I don't know. I'm not sure.
so if we so we've decided we've kind of come to a consensus that spellcasters are weak to begin with, but get stronger as time progresses. So when we come back from the break, we're going to discuss what changes we could possibly make. to fix that, to correct that, so that, you know, spellcasters are a viable early level sort, like, you know, entry level, you know, source of play. Welcome to the middle of the show, where of course we thank our patrons. One, we take a look at any recent D&D news or announcements. Two, and of course, last but not least, we get into some homebrew shenanigans, whether it's taking a look at the DM's Guild or creating a homebrew item of ourselves to give to y'all to use in your campaigns or one shots. Yeah, homebrew's fun. Homebrew is the funnest thing I can think of. You're making the game your own. But yeah, let's go ahead and thank the patrons first and foremost. Thank you so much to all the patrons over at patreon.com/dndlorecast. We've said this, you know, just about every episode, but you know, there are certain things that we want to do to help grow the show and to give back to the community that are only possible through the support of the Patreon. And so we thank you so much. And I want to give a special shout out to patron Frankie, who is now a wizard level patron and now has a open invitation to every month's patron roundtable. Thank you, Frankie, for all your support. Thank you for always giving us a little heart on the Patreon too. I don't think that goes unnoticed. Definitely notice that. Of course, if you want to be part of the patron roundtable, or if you want to get free merch, or if you want to get bonus content, or at least early ad-free episodes of the show, you can go to patreon.com/dndlorecast. We have several different tiers of varying prices that you can sign up for if you're so inclined. And if you want to support the show in other ways, you can definitely do so by following us on all the social medias. We everywhere, we are DND Lorecast, whether it be Twitter, for as long as that's still a thing, on TikTok, on Instagram, on Twitch. Our email is dndlorecast@gmail.com if you want to reach out to us there. And of course, we're always active on the Robots Radio Network Discord. We're a proud member of the Robots Radio Network, and we've got our own text channel there. It's always full of fun conversations, fun memes, stuff like that. It's a little like a little chat room of D&D fans. It's a lot of fun. Moving on into the D&D news now. The One D&D Unearth Arcana for Druid and Paladin. The survey is live. You are able to now give your thoughts and feelings about what the potential playtest rules, the potential rule changes that they've incorporated for the next edition of D&D. Definitely, you know, definitely make your voice heard. Definitely fill out the survey, let them know what worked, what didn't, give suggestions, because it's, you know, only through that they know exactly how things work. Because I mean, a lot of stuff, like if you are a homebrewer yourself, you think of a great idea and then you put into a game and you're like, oh wow, that's actually not, that doesn't work out exactly how I planned. That's either like way overpowered, or it's not powerful enough, or, you know, it just, you know, in your mind, it on paper, it works a lot better than it does in execution. And, you know, that goes even for the game designers at Wizards. You know, they sometimes they come up with ideas that aren't that great, and we got to let them know that, hey, like you screwed up on this. So, you know, do something different. So definitely check that out. Link in the show notes, of course. And then this was a lot of fun. Like we've, you know, Mary and myself have talked on and on about how we love bundles. We love the tangible feel of a book in our hands, but we also love the convenience of a digital copy, something that we can, you know, carry on a tablet, something that we can have dozens and dozens of books on and still be able to take that from table to table. And then recently with D&D Beyond being an official part of the Wizards of the Coast family, they've started doing digital physical bundles, started with Dragonlance, and it's gone into Keys from the Golden Vault. Well, now they are going back in, you know, into the archives, and they're starting to release bundles for like some of the older stuff, like, you know, for the Monster Manual, for the core rule books, the Player's Handbook, the DM's Guide, the Monster Manual, as well as, you know, the starter set, the essentials kit, stuff like that. So if you don't have either one of those, or if you want to gift them, I mean, they're pretty decently priced. I mean, the D&D starter set digital physical bundle is $29.99, which I think the starter set's about like $20 on its own. And so you essentially get the D&D digital version for an extra 10. So it's not bad at all. Not bad at all. And then as far as homebrew goes, this week we're going to suggest and we're going to spotlight Encounters in the Forgotten Realms. Now, this comes from the team from CZRPG. Encounters in the Forgotten Realms is a 5e book with which brings you a multitude of detailed encounters that will help you fill gaps left by the Forgotten Realms modules, as well as complement the content for some regions of the most popular D&D setting. The book is heavily supported by artwork and maps to inspire you and fuel your imagination even further. And this content has been previously released in smaller digital books, and now they've went ahead and collected it into an omnibus of sorts. And it's both available in printed versions and digital versions. So you can, again, if you are like me and you love to have a physical book, then that's absolutely available. And also, if you're like me, but you also love the convenience of digital copies, that's available, and you can get both here. And also, this is the coolest thing for me. The product has a foreword from Ed Greenwood himself, the man himself, the Forgotten Realms lore master himself, that's written by him with the point of view from Elminster. So that's really cool. So you've got 124 detailed encounters, almost 100 different maps, over 50 stat blocks, 24 new magic items, lots of cool stuff. Lots of cool stuff here. Definitely check it out. You can buy the PDF for $34.99. And then you can get, like I said, the bundled the physical copy and the bundled PDF physical copy for varying prices. Why can't I say prices today? Varying prices. And then, of course, like I said, I mentioned this is sort of like a collection of various like smaller books that have already been released, and you can find all those if you want to like maybe just try it out before you take the plunge. Then yeah, they have links to all the stuff that's actually contained within. If you want to give it a look-see first. But enough of all that. Let's get back to our class struggle discussion with the patrons. Hello and welcome back to the Dungeons and Dragons Lorecast. We're talking class struggle this month on the patron roundtable. The classes.
I
The classes we love to play, the classes we hate to play, some classes that we refuse to play as
Down with
Darkwing,
clerics.
as Darkwing, absolutely refuses to play a cleric because he, if he is to die, then everyone is to die.
Damn right.
Coffee loves artificers. He loves just the whole vibe of mechanics and magic being melded together in this, hodgepodge of fun. And what's crazy, I finally finished up the second season of The Legend of Vox Machina, and just getting to see Derulo character. He's an artificer, and it's just like, I mean, he's like shooting a gun in D&D, and it's a lot of fun. Like, some people like are that's not they that is completely against that's antithesis to D&D. But I mean, all the moving parts are there to do so. I mean, I don't see
No,
like
my only problem with that character was he wasn't a gnome. That was it. I have never assumed anybody besides a gnome was building a gun.
true, very true.
But I like that character. He's grown on me quite a bit. I've enjoyed both those seasons, and I'm very happy to hear that there's a third season coming. So.
Oh, I mean, not only is there a third season, I anticipate. Based on how they're splitting up the episodes, like the first arc that they did was the Briarwoods, and that was about 15 episodes in the podcast, and that was a season. And the Chroma on Conclave is about 40 episodes in the podcast, and they've kind of like split up though that entire arc into two seasons. And the fourth arc is sort of like tying up loose ends, which they might sort of like weave into maybe a fourth season, or they might make it its own, maybe add some stuff and then have the fifth season being the ending. So I anticipate this being at least four, maybe even five seasons.
That would be great. This has been one of my favorite animated shows I've seen in quite a long time.
It's been a
Is it
lot of
any good? I
fun.
haven't seen it. Is it any good?
Oh, it's
Oh my,
fantastic. Yeah.
yeah, dude. I
What's it on
absolutely
Amazon
recommend
Prime?
seeing it. It is on
Yep.
Prime, yeah. So get Prime if you don't have it. Watch
I
The
do have
Legends of
Prime,
Vox
so.
Machina, and yeah, it's a lot of, I mean, it's binge worthy for sure.
Oh, I have to stop myself. I make myself only watch a few episodes at a time of this after all the second season. The first season I totally just binged when it first came out and then realized there was only going to be the amount of episodes that we got. I think it's 12.
Right.
And yeah, I did. When it was coming out, I was week to week. I mean, I would watch one episode, then I'd wait the next day, then the next day, and then I have a few days to wait for the next ones. But very, very tried to old school it on myself where you couldn't just binge watch things back in the day. I know there's some of you kids that don't understand what I'm talking about. Sometimes we used to have to wait week to week to find out
That
what was next.
it was called appointment TV viewing. Yeah, we had to wait. But you don't have to do that to yourself now. Darkwing, we're living in a new age.
Oh, the
Just watching
future.
The
The
Mandalorian
world of
on
the
Disney
future.
Plus.
Yeah, you can watch a whole season of Mandalorian.
Watching the newer season, just waiting for the newest episode.
But yeah, so like, Percy DeRolo is a fun character, and just being able to create that, like, those sort of contraptions, traps, weapons like guns. Obviously that's appealing. But we're talking now, we want to talk about and then we discuss how rogues are a lot of fun. A lot of the players in my campaign parties love
So much
rogues.
fun.
But we want to talk about the spellcasters. I've had some players tell me that, spellcasting did just seem weak to begin with. That they seem like the learning curve
Indeed.
is too high. They feel like that, the if you're starting off a campaign at level one, that you're almost at an immediate disadvantage
Oh,
playing a spellcaster,
absolutely. Run away. Run away.
as opposed to like a fighter or a rogue or a barbarian even. And so what can be done to remedy this? Should we tweak the spellcasting classes in general to make them a little hardier to begin with, give them more spells to begin with?
Maybe more spells. I kind of thought maybe optional magical items, such as just something that came along with family back history to allow them to maybe bring up a stat or give them a plus one on a roll kind of deal, just where, or even just a amulet of hit points for F's sake. I just something to do that, but I'd like to see it all just be optional because as much as I have disparaged against playing those classes, they still are very, very good in the higher levels. The weakness in the beginning, if you have the tenacity, can be worth it in the end. But as a beginning player, some sort of amulet, some sort of magical item they got through some backstory, which now makes you have to be more involved with your character in the first place. So now you have a good, well set backstory and a magical item, which, oh, that's almost unheard of. Nobody gets magical items at level one.
I mean, it would make sense. I mean, if you are a wizard, it would make sense that you would, even at level one, that you would have some kind of like magical item. Even the kids at their first year of Hogwarts have a magic wand, right?
Right.
And so, you mentioned sort of like balance and stuff. Really quickly, I had one of my fellow players mention min-maxing. Like, how do you feel about the min-max player? Like, trying to get the most out of their player and building their character as such.
I was trained to play this game by guys that did that 100%. The whole party, they were straight up, they would cheese the characters till they were They knew 3 and 3-5 to the point where we didn't even need books. They would just be able to rattle off whatever you needed to know. And honestly, it's annoying as shit. I
I
get
mean,
it.
it's great whenever you're stuck behind three trolls and it looks like it's going to be a TPK, and then you've got your min-max barbarian like wailing, like, wrecking shop on them. I mean, it is great at that point, but for the most part, go on.
It's I get that we're supposed to be heroes in a world, and everybody wants to be the biggest, baddest character. But when you've min-maxed out your players to a point where you've found loop, you just loop, rule lawyered your way into a character that's Superman. And this is going to piss people off. I think Superman is the most boring guy I've ever seen in my life. There's no flaws there. If you don't have flaws, what? I mean, you're already the best in the world. What have you worked towards? That's why I'm against the min-max. You can just be so powerful right off, and I get it. I like math too.
I like being able to roll a bunch of dice at once. That's awesome.
And it's great, but and then sitting on the other side of that, sitting behind the screen trying to run a game, and I've gotten all these different creatures, and I'm like, all right, this should be pretty balanced. And then my one min-max barbarian doing exactly what you just said, walking and be like, oh, dead. Everyone's dead. Ha, perfect. All right, guys, moving on. And I'm like, well, there went 3 hours of my campaign. Shit. What do I do now? So min-max, great. And honestly, I think it's a really good trait as a player to know how to do. But I think if you want a more enriching experience while you're playing, min-maxing is not the way to go. And I'm sure I'm just going to get a bunch of hate for this, but yeah, min-maxing is not the way to go.
I mean, it's I don't want to tell anyone that there is a wrong or a right way to play D&D. And so, I mean, like I have like one of my very best friends, when he plays, he's definitely one of those like, hey, what do you want to play? He's like, well, what do we need? What does the party need? They're like, well, we don't have a cleric yet. We don't have a healer. Or like, oh, we don't have a tank. And so he'll kind of feel like that's how he likes to play. He likes to feel like he is, being supportive of the group and playing a role that is needed. And so, and then there are some folks who like, I want to create this character and role play them out and fully flesh out this character that I have in my mind. Like stats be damned. If I'm a barbarian with 9 strength, but that's part of my backstory is that I am the clan's weakest barbarian, and by God, like I'm going to figure out a way to prove my people wrong that I'm not useless, I'm not worthless. And then you have those folks who's like, I want to pore over every single source book, which was more of a thing in third edition, I feel, because there were so many options to pull from.
Everything. You can do anything.
And so I feel, and so as a result, because there were so many more options, it was also easier to screw it up. I couldn't tell you how many times I had a character all the way up until like 6th or 7th level, and then realized like, oh, I shouldn't have taken that feat a few levels ago, because that feat's absolutely worthless.
Oh man. That makes my whole day just thinking about how many characters I would get to a point where just like, well, he's worthless now. Congratulations.
No, yeah, and that was something as a like kind of as a house rule that if I started a campaign with folks, I gave them up until like level 3 or 4. I was like, at this point, you can change anything you want about your character. Hell, you could roll a completely different character, and we'll just act as if that character has been in the party the entire time, or your original character, like their mom called them and they had to come home early for dinner, and this guy showed up. Whatever it is, because like what you sometimes, especially with newer players, what you start off thinking is going to be cool and work and be a lot of fun, you realize a few sessions in, like, oh, actually, I thought I wanted to be like the like kick in the front door and just, you know, swing a battle axe around and get blood all over me. But instead, I kind of like being sneaky and like stabbing people in the back and then like running away. You know, like so I kind of want to do that instead. Or like, you know, I thought magic wouldn't be fun, but actually the few spells that I've already learned are like a lot of fun, and I want to learn, you know, the rest of these too. And so, and that's something that actually a fourth edition had that
I
I
see
wish
it.
would come back. Fourth edition had a feature called retraining, where every level that you went up, you could change one thing about a previous level. So you could remove a feat and I believe add something else, or maybe
You
like.
know, and this brings me to the max min problem. I like where you I never played four. Life got in the way. I just never played four. By the time I got back, it was fifth edition. I'm like, wait a minute. I honestly thought that they skipped four. That's how out of the loop I
Like,
was.
that's weird.
I
They
was
went
like,
straight from
okay,
3.5
maybe
to
it was this
five.
superstition. Okay, 3-5 to 5. Perfect.
Or they just knocked off the 3 point and just went with that.
yeah. And well, so uh-oh, I think I have a dog at the door. Just
That's an
my
adventure
initial
hook.
thought.
That is an adventure hook right there. A dog arrives at your door.
But I think the that retrain, that's great for newer players, but comes back to a rule lawyering problem where if I really wanted to sit down, well, the retrain brings us to a like it, as soon as I can do that, now I'm building my character to get to that retrain point to retrain in something else. And that just works into my min-max. Like I know I'm gonna get to level 3 and I'm gonna retrain this feat to go with a new feat I'm gonna get that would have done me no good lower level. Like I said, I was trained by guys that worked their ass off to find the loopholes in everything we were playing, and we could destroy everything. It's merely a cautionary tale, I guess, is what I'm putting out there. It's fun in the beginning, but by the time you should have felt like you've earned something, you've already destroyed dragons, and you shouldn't have. And I like more working into a character that's pretty Taylor Swift basic. Just
Whoa,
bring it
hold
in
up,
there.
hold up, hold up. We're not going to be throwing Taylor Swift shade on the Lorecast.
Who said shade? I said basic character, you know, like human fighter.
I mean, if by human fighter you mean the most popular and most well-regarded character
Character?
class, you
Yeah.
know, species class combination, then yeah, absolutely.
That might be the closest thing you get to me giving a compliment to Taylor Swift right there. You better have that recorded.
I mean, that's going on as on our like promo reel.
I
Like,
love
you know,
it.
our 30-second commercial, you know, it's going to include like, you know, like little snippets of like lore talk. It's
I
going to include
love it.
your compliment. Your backhanded compliment, I should say.
Hey, all publicity is good publicity, damn
Look, all I'm
it.
saying is over every across everything, she's won over 550 awards among, you know, across Grammys, you know, American Music Awards, Country Music Awards. So she must be doing something right. In fact, I am doing for my Age of Worms campaign is on a short break while the DM starts preparing the next, the next section of it. And so one of the players is DMing a homebrew, like little one shot, two shot. And my character is a bard based on Taylor Swift.
Oh, I hate that so much.
And whenever they attack, they usually like quote, like I usually try to quote like a Taylor Swift lyric, like, oh, now we've got bad blood. And then I hit them with vicious mockery.
I hope you get extra experience for that. That's fantastic, but I just can't. And I'm sorry, I totally interrupted. We digressed into Taylor Swift very quickly there.
Hey, it happens when you're talking with me.
But yeah, so I guess the last thing I just That retrain was, it's a great idea. I just worry about min-maxers. You brought
Taking
up min-max,
advantage for
which is
sure.
a, I don't know, it's not really a sore point. I've just, when it's the first thing you learned about D&D was how to do that. I like how I've done it now. I gave my guys an extra dice when they're rolling their stats, and then you drop the two lowest instead of just one lowest. And you can reroll doubles if you want. So if you roll two ones, you can reroll and tell you. So all my guys have really, really good stats, which made my dragonborn sorceress, she's a badass, and she's only level five now. And she's thanks to having like an 18 in strength and in charisma, she does great. She has only come close to dying twice.
Hey, in a D&D campaign at level five, that's saying something.
Yeah, hey, oh, and we don't even have a healer. We've got a bard who carries potions.
And so talking about spellcasters again, I had one of my campaign players say that, that ever since they were a little kid, they've been drawn to spellcasters. They've been drawn to magic users. And so, also, like, being able to do stuff like controlling the weather. Like, their favorite X-Men character was Storm. Their favorite Mortal Kombat character was Raiden. And so, like, this is sort of the idea of being able to, like, do something, supernatural is
Control
appealing
the
to them.
weather, sounds like.
Whereas, and so juxtaposed with the fighter, all you're doing is swinging around a sword, swinging around, like, shooting an arrow, a bow and arrow. And so that seems kind of more, that seems more basic in their opinion.
I guess, I mean, that's fair. I mean, but still, like, yeah, basic characters. I love basic characters.
I mean, there's
That's.
no, I mean, the human fighter is it's the Big Mac of D&D,
Yeah. It is. And it is. It's straightforward. Like, it's in the name. You're going to fight. That's what you're here for. That's what your stats should do. That's what your weapons should do. Don't get it twisted. You're not a wizard. You are to go in first.
And so my thoughts on perhaps fixing the spellcasting classes to where they're not as, I don't know, I want to say useless in early levels, but
Is a little bit though.
it's a little bit and this might be. And I know the idea behind fifth edition is being able just to, like, quickly start playing. Like, the rules are streamlined, which I know a couple of times you've messaged me, like, asking about the rules, like, hey, like, so I just roll with advantage on this if I don't have to, like, add
Yeah.
modifiers. I'm like, nope. You're like, that
You're
seems way too
way too
simplistic.
easy.
That
You know,
seems
like I
like.
said, I came back to five, and you're right. I had to ask you some questions. I was like, no. I miss. There's got to be some rule I'm missing here. Had to ask you. No. Go right with what you think. Well,
And
I'll be
yeah,
damned.
it's simplistic, but also, like, very very it makes sense, very common sense. Like, okay, you're good at this one thing, just roll twice and take the higher of the two, as opposed to, like, okay, well, I have a plus two because of this, species trait, and then I have a plus two because of the certain combat conditions that we're in. And then I have a plus two because of the weapon that I'm holding. No, just roll twice, just roll a d20 two times and take the higher of the two. And so I know that
Mind-blowing.
there's more of a they're trying to streamline the rules so that it's not nearly as crunchy and it's more accessible. And so what I'm proposing might not be in line with that sort of thinking, but perhaps sort of a like degression progression as far as the spellcaster is concerned. So, a first level wizard, perhaps they, first and foremost, they get trained in basic combat. They're like, hey, like, when you go out and start doing your thing, like, you're going to be like, you won't be as powerful. So you need to learn how to wield a sword. You need to learn how to swing an axe.
Staff.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, that's usually what they have is a staff, right?
You would think, I mean, come on, Donatello beats up people with a staff. Why can't a wizard?
But he's also a ninja turtle.
He was trained how to use the staff.
Right, but so I mean, be able to wield some kind of weapon, be able to have, some kind of, buff to them that they eventually lose as their magical acumen gets higher.
Yeah, well, that
Like
makes sense. I
there's sort of a
mean,
trade-off. Like the better they get at wielding magic, the less, the less they're able to,
well, they're never
use.
going to practice with their weapons
Ex
if they get good at
exactly.
magic. So, like that, like even in a storyline wise, that makes sense. That's a really good idea.
Right. So like, the more they concentrate on progressing as a wizard, the less, like you said, the less they're able to practice their sword play, whatever it may be. And so they get a little bit of rusty, and so they lose that. And so they're sort of like an even trade to where they're not completely useless. I mean, I wouldn't make them like as strong as like a fighter or barbarian at level one, but somewhere probably in between where they are now as a level one wizard and where like a level one fighter would be, like somewhere like right in the middle.
And I
And
can
then
see
at
that being a really interesting backstory to it as well. You could use it in certain situations where, hey, someone has shut their magic off and thinks now they're helpless, but they can pull out a short sword and be like, I know that the pointy end goes into the other man. I mean, I know how to
Right,
do
right.
this.
And like there, I've seen a meme of that before where it's like some like frail looking Gandalf wizard. It's like, oh no, I've run out of spells. And then he like rips off his like robe and he's like just like yoked up and jacked. He's like, good thing I like know how to use these.
Gun show, yeah.
And so I would say something like that. I mean, just something to, and something to just allow like that sort of accessibility at early levels for these spellcasters, because I mean, like I said, this was back in 2017, but you've got warlocks, monks, bards, sorcerers, and druids, like two spell cast, if really like bards are, for the most part spellcasters.
They are. I'm in the process. My bard is in real life. He's a bard. He's a banjo player from an old band of mine that we got him to come play D&D.
Nice.
And it did not transfer from real life to D&D quite as well as I was hoping for. So he's still learning. We've only, you know, I we're probably only at 7 or 8 games into the campaign. So and he's getting better. He's figured out that he needs to stop stabbing people with the rapier and needs to be singing in the background so people don't die. It works out.
No, yeah, and like I had one of my best friends, like he's been a musician since he was 7th grade, been in several bands, used to run a recording studio as an engineer, and he was like, yeah, I have no interest in playing a bard. And I'm like, that's really interesting considering you're a musician. He's like, I know, it's kind of ironic. But yeah, and it's just just the mechanics of it, you would think like, and it might be sort of like a like, well, I already do that in real life. Like, why would I want to fantasize, as doing that? But then again, like another best friend, he's a writer, he's a published writer, and hasn't played a bard but wants to, or has played a bard, but because he thinks that the idea of the gift of gab would be something that would work, but he hasn't really found that at early levels.
See, that's why I like the rogue, honestly. I like to talk. That's why I gravitated. I went from fighter to rogue because I found it more interesting, because it is. The fighter really is. He's your meat and potatoes fantasy character, hero with a sword. And a rogue gets to talk his way out of things. And it wasn't until many years later that I realized I probably should have been just playing a bard. But you get it's the diplomacies and the intimidates, and I think your friend's very right. I think the gift of gab definitely has a place deeply within rogue or bard, and bard probably easier because with fifth edition, I found those guys got They didn't get nerfed.
No,
They're still very viable to play.
and that was the other thing. I played the first time I played a bard was in 3.5 and a small party, and it was not a fun experience. Like I couldn't do really anything. But you know, because we're only a party of like four, I think, I left the party at a detriment because, you know, we had a wizard, we had a fighter, and I think we had maybe like two fighters and a wizard, and then me as a bard who kind of wasn't there to sort of like fill in like any gaps or sort of like support everyone else that was already there in place. Instead, I was just sort of like dead water.
Yeah, dead. I was like, man, I don't remember a bard in a single party I played from 2000 to 2010 kind of deal. Like, nobody played bard. And yeah, it's because they kind of ended up dead.
But yeah, Bard in fifth edition is a lot better, but still not that popular. And I think it's because of that spell casting sort of learning curve. And
I agree with you. I appreciate the way the bard is portrayed in Vox Machina. I hope that helps the bard. And after today, we're gonna see what this bard has to say to the world. I'm excited to see this in the movie. Maybe that'll help. People are missing out. The bard may be the comic relief, but the bard is right there with what I've been saying this whole cast. The higher levels, boy, they're powerful.
oh yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. Well, thank you so much. Coffee had to dip out of the tower really quickly. So, thank you for Coffee for joining us. Thank you, Darkwing, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you have any thoughts or opinions on the classes that you love to play, that you hate to play, if you have any advice or suggestions on how to, for some of the classes that you know, the spell casting level, classes that we played, or even a fighter. Like a fighter is the most popular, but but some people might not want to play them just either because they seem kind of boring. Like you said, like your Superman type character that has no flaws, is seemingly invincible. Yeah, hit us up at the on the Discord, Robots Radio Network Discord. There's a link in the show notes. We're always talking D&D in the D&D Lorecast
Always.
channel, nonstop. I've almost always got it up, so I can respond as quickly as possible. I had just recently someone ask about the new wild shape rules, and I was like, "This is what I live for. Let's talk mechanics." I love the lore. I love the mechanics. I love it all. I love the game. But join
As
us
you should.
again next week. We'll discuss some more lore, and then next month we'll be giving our thoughts and opinions on the new D&D movie, Honor Among Thieves, which is coming out on March 31st. But as Darkwing alluded to, we will be watching it, not together, unfortunately. We are several states apart, but we will be watching it here in just a couple of hours with members of our respective D&D parties.
Absolutely.
So we're having a D&D movie party with our D&D tabletop party.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing.
Can't think of a better Sunday.
Sounds great. Well, thanks again.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you come back and join us, and we thank you for letting us be a part of your life for this short amount of time. My name is Sergio. Fare thee well, dear listener, and until we meet again, may all your 20s be natural.
Thanks for listening to the Dungeons and Dragons Lorecast. If you've enjoyed the show, please consider sharing it with a friend, following us on Twitter at DNDLorecast, or jumping on the Robots Radio Discord to chat more with us about Dungeons and Dragons. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at Robots Radio.